It's not unusual. Matter of fact, it happens rather frequently. On this particular occasion, I had just spoken on the subject of prayer. After the service, a man approached me and he said, "I found what you had to say very interesting. I have two questions. Number one, why does God answer prayer? Number two, when does God answer prayer?" Now, those two questions are probably two of the most significant questions you could possibly ask concerning prayer. The first one has to do with the sovereignty of God. The point is that God is sovereign. He has a will. That will is going to come to pass. So if that's the case, why does God answer prayer? Or to say that same thing another way, if prayer could change His will, then He's not sovereign. So how can a sovereign God answer prayer? That is probably the most philosophical question you can ask when it comes to the subject of prayer. The answer is relatively simple. God said He would answer prayer. As a matter of fact, I remember when I was a young Christian in a Christian college, a professor saying that he struggled with that question, and one of his professors was asked that, and he said this: God can answer prayer. A sovereign God can answer prayer because in His sovereignty, He said, "I will answer prayer." Isn't that profound? At any rate, that's the answer to the first question. The second question is a little more practical and intriguing. When does God answer prayer? I said to the man asking the question, "If you mean by that how long it's going to take, I don't know. But if you mean by that, what are the conditions under which God answers prayer, for that there is an answer in the Scripture." It's that second question that I would like to address today. When does God answer prayer? Or, to say that same thing another way, under what conditions does God answer prayer? Are there certain requirements for answered prayer? The answer is yes. What I'd like to do is share with you what I think the New Testament says are the conditions for God to do what He said He would do. So with that in mind, will you turn with me to John chapter 15? And I'm going to look at one simple, single verse. John chapter 17. I'm sorry, verse 15, verse 7. "If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done unto you." Now, we're going to look at a number of different verses this morning. But what I would like to do is, in each case, look at three elements in these verses. For example, there is a pattern in these verses. First of all, there is the requirement. Secondly, there is a request. And thirdly, there is a result of that request. In this case, in John 15, 7, there are two requirements. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you. So I think we could pause here and ask the question, what does it mean to abide? Well, let me invite you to go back to John chapter 8 for a second. In John chapter 8, we are told in verse 30, "As He spoke these words, many believed in Him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed.'" I want to start here for the simple reason that verse 30 says the first thing that is needed before you abide is that you believe. That means that you trust Jesus Christ for the gift of eternal life. He died to pay for our sin. He bodily arose from the dead. And all we have to do to gain the gift of eternal life is trust in Him. That's what verse 30 says. It says, and many believed in Him. Notice the little addition of the word in, indicating that this is not just believing facts, it's trusting a person. You are relying on Him. You are depending on Him. When you do that, you are given the gift of eternal life. Then He says, verse 31, to those Jews who believe, they're now believers. He says, if you abide in My word. Now, He doesn't explain what that is in chapter 8. But in chapter 15, He gives an analogy, an illustration of the vine and the branches. And He says, as I pointed out a minute ago in verse 5, if you abide in Me, and My words abide in you. The word abide simply means to dwell, to remain, to continue. Now, the analogy that He gives is of a vine and branches. And He clearly says He's the vine. Believers are branches. Now, how does a branch abide in a vine? And the answer is, the branch must depend on the vine for its very life, for its sustenance, for its strength. So I take it that part of abiding is depending, that it is depending on the Lord. He is the vine, and as a branch, we just depend on Him. So abiding in Him is trusting in Him, not just for eternal life, but for all the needs that we have in this life. He says, now you've trusted Me in chapter 8, verse 30, that is for eternal life. Now continue to do that. Trust Me for everything else that comes into your life. Matter of fact, the whole Christian life is a life of faith. You know the verse. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So the whole Christian life is not a series of activities. It's not a series of don'ts, things you don't do. It's a life of simply trusting the Lord. Now, I would simply add to that, that it's obvious that abiding is a little more than faith. Matter of fact, back in chapter 15, He says in verse 10, if you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love. And in 1 John 3:24, He says that same thing even clearer than that. Part of abiding is obeying Him. Matter of fact, I guess it all comes down to the hymn, right? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to abide in Christ but to trust and obey. So with due respect to the hymn writer, I edited his hymn a bit. But you get the drift. So the first requirement is that we abide in Christ. Now notice this says, and His words abide in us. Paul in the book of Colossians says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Some people who are millionaires when it comes to the word, some are billionaires, there are very few of those in the world, I understand, and some are paupers. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I'm going to say a little more about that in a bit. But I just want to say in passing that the requirements in this verse is that we abide in Christ and His Word abides in us. All right, look at verse 7 of chapter 15 again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, look at this. You will ask what you desire. That's the request. If you meet that condition, then ask anything you want to. Is that what that verse says? What it says, right? So ask what you want to. You know, now is that a carte blanche? I mean, is that a blank check? I mean, can I just go boldly and ask anything I want? Well, now notice the verse. What's the requirement? That we abide in Him and His Word abides in us. So I take it if His Word is abiding in us, that Word shapes our desires. We would know what to ask for and what not to ask for, and that would even affect our desire. So, but He says, you meet this condition, then ask what you desire. The third thing is the result. It shall be done unto you. So, the requirement, abide in me, my words abide in you. The request, ask what you desire. The result, you got it. It will be done unto you. So, to simplify everything I've said, the first condition is that we simply abide in Him. To underscore that, let me say it like this. If you don't abide in Him, don't expect to get a whole lot of answers to prayer. Psalm 66 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I'm harboring and holding on to sin, I'm in no position to ask God for any favors. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says to husbands, you are to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. That verse has always struck me. God expects me to understand that creature called a wife, that creature called a woman. He expects men to understand her. Well, I suspect that to do that, you got to go to school, and that is lifelong learning. At any rate, he says you are to dwell with her according to knowledge, and you are to honor her. Then he... All the women said, amen. Then he says this. So you're going to really like, if you like that, ladies, you're going to love this. Then he says, and if you don't, your prayers will be hindered. So if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I can't be right with God and wrong with my wife. So if I've mistreated her, dishonored her, not dwell with her according to knowledge, and come before Him and start asking for favors, y'all are enjoying this entirely too much. The point I'm trying to make is we have to abide in Him and His Word abide in us. A mother bathed and dressed her little boy because they were going to go to grandma's house. And when she got all done, she sent him outside and said, now, don't get dirty. We're going to grandma's house, but we're not quite ready to go yet. Well, when he got outside, the neighborhood bully saw him all dressed up and called him a sissy. And they got into a scuffle, and he was a mess. And then all of a sudden, the ice cream truck comes by, and the little boy runs back in the house and asks his mother for money so he could buy some ice cream. His mother took one look at him and said, "You, young man, are in no position to ask for favors." Now, that's something of what I'm trying to say. The first requirement of prayer is that the prayer be in fellowship with the Lord. That he come before the Lord and the Lord says, "You know, son or daughter, you are in a good position. Ask and I'll do it." Is that awesome or what? Well, that's just the first. There's more. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And look at verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Again, there's a pattern here. Three things. First of all is the requirement. And the requirement is that we ask according to his will. That's very, very important. Now, earlier in chapter 15 of John, we saw that his word had to abide in us. Remember that? And I said, I'll say more about that later. We're ready for the some more now. The some more now is this. The word tells us his will. It is his will that he's really interested in. So, if we ask according to his will, then if we ask anything, now John chapter 15 said, ask what you desire. This broadens it a bit, it seems to me. Just ask anything. But of course, the caveat is that the word informs our prayer life. So if we're abiding in the word, then we know what it is we are in a position to ask for in the first place. Then the third part is the result. Verse 15, and we have the petition that we ask of him. It'll be done unto you. You got it. So, the first condition for an answer to prayer is that we abide in him. The second is that we ask according to his word, which is the meaning of his word abiding in us. You know what? I think this, for some people, could take all the fun out of praying. I mean, I got to ask according to his will? Well, boy, that eliminates a lot of my prayer life, doesn't it? I mean, I like the part where I ask according to my will. I got to ask according to his will? Yeah, for starters, yeah. Now let's talk about that for a minute. What is God's will for us as believers in Jesus Christ? Let me mention three. Is it the will of God that he provide for us in terms of our material and physical needs? Oh, absolutely. Jesus is emphatic about that. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, listen, don't even give this a second thought. I mean, God takes care of the birds, and you're more valuable than the birds, so just don't even worry about that. I mean, if your physical material needs are what you're worried about, don't give that a second thought. That's covered. Is that the will of God? Yep. How about forgiveness? As a believer, do you ever sin? Oh, yeah. Is it the will of God that you be forgiven? But of course, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how about preventing the sin to begin with? Is it his will that you be kept back from temptation? The answer is yes. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, this is the will of God, even our sanctification. He wants to set us apart unto Him. So those are just three things. And there's many, 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 many more. But our material physical needs, our spiritual need for forgiveness, and our spiritual need for strength to overcome temptation. Is that asking according to His will? All right, let me show you just how significant what I just said is. If Jesus Himself were standing here instead of me, and it were a TV program where I could interview Him, and I were to say to Him, Lord, could You teach us as a congregation, as a group of believers, how to pray? What would He say? Well, I don't have to guess about this because He's already told me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What's that? The will of God. That He said in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 6, you shouldn't even worry about, I'll cover that, but He wants us to ask according to His will for our daily bread. Maybe we worry about those things in life because we don't ask daily for those needs to be met. Back to the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What's that? Forgiveness. And of course, then He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And what is that? Preventing the sin. So the very things that we know clearly are the will of God are the very basic, fundamental things that He told us to pray about in the Lord's Prayer. By the way, somebody has pointed out that asking for your daily bread is your present need. Asking for forgiveness takes care of your past. And asking for deliverance from temptation is the future. So in the Lord's Prayer, you're taking all of you, your past, your present, and your future needs to Him. And it's the Father's will to take care of you, and you're simply asking Him. It's as simple as that. A lady who was known for getting answers to prayer was once asked, what is your secret for getting answers to prayer? And she replied, I take God at His word, and He takes me at mine. Think about that. All right, there's another requirement I want to share with you. Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. It's a very famous passage on prayer. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus says, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that all these things he said will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. May I suggest that the same pattern is here. There is a requirement, there is a request, and there is a result. In this case, the requirement is that you believe. The request is that you ask some mountain to be dumped into the sea. Now, that's obviously hyperbole. It simply is saying that you're going to ask for something that is humanly impossible, but not impossible for God. And the result will be, if you do that, if you believe that's the requirement, then you will get what you ask for. If you believe, verse 24, that you will receive them and you will have them. You got it. Incredible. So what's the requirement? You believe. A pastor in Texas tells of his little daughter wanting a dollhouse. So he said to her, I will build you a dollhouse. She scampered off, and a few minutes later he looked out in the backyard and she was putting all of her dolls in a pile in the backyard. And the pastor said to his wife, what's she doing? And she said, well, you told her that you would build her a dollhouse, and she believed you. So, well, I didn't mean today. He said, yes, but she believed you. So guess what he did? Built a dollhouse. When? That day. Now, let's put all this together. Very simply, there are three conditions that we've looked at. Number one, that you abide in Him. The prayer needs to be in a right position. Number two, that you ask according to His will. The prayer needs to be what it should be. And finally, that you believe. Now, it seems to me that if you understand the previous conditions, it wouldn't be hard to believe. Right? If you had God's word on it, that was His will, then asking Him for that thing He promised wouldn't be hard to believe, right? I think I come to this passage and I think, man, my problem when I pray is I don't have enough faith. Well, if you just put all three of these things and line them up, then it's not hard to believe if you know He's already said He was going to do it. So, I'd like to make a suggestion. And that is this, that what I have said is encouraging. It should encourage us to pray. Amen? That was kind of weak. All right. I think it's also discouraging. I mean, does that mean I got to have a chapter and verse before I can pray? I mean, if these are the conditions, doesn't that limit my prayer life? Ooh, that's a good question. And some of you are shaking your heads, no, I'd love to stop and put a mic in your mouth and say, what are you thinking? But since we don't have the time to do that, I'm going to ask you to turn to one more passage. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. This is very important. Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Do not worry about anything. I'm liking that. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The same pattern that we looked at in the previous three verses are in this verse. First of all, there is a requirement. I think. What is the requirement? I couldn't find one. Unless maybe with thanksgiving is, but there is no requirement. Not like there was in those other verses. Maybe don't worry. He just starts out in everything. Pray without ceasing about everything. Huh. All right, no requirement. What about the request? Well, we just talked about that. Just pray about everything that pops into your head. And what I'm about to say is the most important thing I'm going to say on this subject in this message. And what is the result. What does that text say? What's the result? Does that strike you as being different than those other verses we looked at? In the other verses, I was given a guaranteed result. In this verse, where there is no requirement, I'm not guaranteed the result, but I'm invited to ask. And the one thing I know I'll get is I have the peace that God knows more than I do, God's smarter than I am, and I'll leave it up to Him. Is that incredible? So, you can ask for anything you want to. Now, He may not do it, because He's a wise Father. But you can ask. Matter of fact, James says, the reason we don't have is we don't ask. So, I want to sum all this up. Then I want to conclude by making an observation or two. The sum is simple. When does God answer prayer? When we meet the conditions that He's laid out in His Word. Namely, when we abide in Him, when we ask according to His will, and when we believe that He'll do what He said. And He may answer just because I'm His child and He's my Father and He decided to ask. He told me to ask, I did, and He decided to do it. And you need to put both of these things together. It seems to me that there are passages of Scripture that teach that you've got to meet the conditions. But there are also passages of Scripture that teach you should pray about everything all the time, that you should just let your request be made known. So let me conclude by just underscoring those two points. The first is this. You should ask according to His will. That means you need to know the Scripture. I just scratched the surface today on the will of God. Chose some very basic things because they're reflected in the Lord's Prayer. That's only the beginning. So let me go to one of my favorites. Y'all have heard me say this so many times, you know what I'm about to say. My favorite verse on prayer in all of the Bible. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. I am invited by my Heavenly Father to come to His throne of grace to get a dose of grace anytime I need it. Now let me explain. Salvation is by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. The Christian life is by grace. Don't fall short of the grace of God, the writer to the Hebrews warns us. What does that mean? Well, just as I come before God and say, God, I am a sinner, but I believe Your Son died for me and I trust in Him for the gift of eternal life, and God gives it to me, then I find out I'm to continue in His Word. And I find that He's told me all things to do. And I go, oh boy, I got to dwell with her according to knowledge. I got to honor her. What about when she doesn't act honorably? How do I do that? And God says, come boldly to the throne of grace and I'll give you the grace to do that. That is living by grace. It's living according to His will by depending on His grace. Got it? Got it. All right, that's point one. Ask according to His will. Point two, ask anything. Let your request be made known. Boy, do I have a list. You know?
Just ask. Just ask.
Let me bring Jesus back up.
Let's suppose he was standing here. And I could say to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, he gave us a model prayer. He didn't mean for us to repeat that one all the time. But he gave us a model. But let me tell you what else Jesus said about prayer. Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because of his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will arise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke chapter 11. The point I want to make is this. I have a Father. A loving Father. And my first response is I want to do His will. But the flip side of that is I have a Father. A loving Father. And I can go to Him anytime and ask anything, knowing that my wise, loving Father will do what is good for me. That no good thing will He withhold from them who walk up. And I'll let Him determine what is the good thing. You've all heard of a Bible teacher named C.I. Scofield. He's the lawyer who became a Christian Bible teacher. And is the first one, I think, to write a study Bible. He wrote a Bible with some notes at the bottom of the page. And the last time I heard a few years ago, one publisher told me there are now 70 study Bibles on the market, and I suspect there are now 100. C.I. Scofield was a Bible teacher. He knew the Scripture. But he lived in a day when they were horse and buggies. And one day he was sitting in his study, studying the Bible, and he looked out the window, and there was this newfangled thing called a horseless carriage. And he said, Father, I don't need that, but it sure looks like it'd be fun. Could I have one of those? And guess what C.I. Scofield got? An automobile. I don't know enough of the story to know how he did it, but I just know this. He had a loving Father that answered that prayer. Father, thank you for being our Father, for looking out after us, to taking care of us, and to wanting to bless us. So, Father, we confess that we sometimes just don't even ask, and therefore we go without. So, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray according to your will, and teach us to let our requests be made known. In Jesus' name, amen.